One of the things that breaks my heart as a pastor is that Christians are known more for what they're against than what they're for. It makes me absolutely sick that we're known for hate and standing against things and what we don't want to happen. And it's one of the reasons that people say, "You're trying to impose your beliefs on me." A number of years ago, my wife and I were serving as foster parents in Florida. And the goal of foster care is to help the family that's struggling so that their children can be returned to a safe environment. However, the nature of the system automatically seems to pit birth family against the system. And by default, as foster parents, we get lumped in with the system when all we are doing is caring for the child until they can go home again and be with their family. But the circumstances set up an adversarial relationship in the foster care system. Probably can't be helped when it really should be a system of collaboration towards restoration. The goal ought to be, how can we come alongside you? And this effort does work, but the family automatically feels threatened or feels like the system is just trying to take away their child or get them in trouble or trip them up. When if they really knew their hearts, especially the hearts of those of us that were foster parents who really just loving that kid, maybe they would understand different, but they can't see it that way. If you think about it, Christians have done the same thing. In our zeal to fight sin and evil in the world, we've created the same adversarial relationship with those outside the church. Because we want sin to not happen, because we want evil thwarted, because we don't want there to be bad things in the world, we automatically set up ourselves in opposition to those who are doing them, even if they're not, they don't see it as wrong or bad, or even see themselves as wrong or bad. So therefore, we are known more for what we are against than what we are for. You could make a list of all the things that Christians are known to be against: abortion, homosexuality. Some people even say science because they talk about creation instead of evolution. Drugs, the list is endless. Christians are known for hating so-and-so or hating this group or making a stand against this instead of what we are for. There's a story from Jesus' ministry in John 8. It goes like this. While Jesus went to the Mount of Olives early in the morning, he came again to the temple. All the people came to him and sat down and began to teach them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, and making her stand before all of them, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now in the law of Moses commanded us to stone such woman. What do you say?" They said this to test him, so they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down, wrote with his finger on the ground. When they kept questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let anyone among you who is without sin throw a stone at her." Once again, he bent down and wrote on the ground. When they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the elders, and Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus straightened and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, sir." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go your way from now on and do not sin again." Well, we have a story here of religious leaders taking a stand against adultery. Now, admittedly, they have an agenda to try to trip Jesus up, but I want to give a couple of takeaways from this story. First, we are known for what we're against, but we're not against everything equally. Jesus says in the passage, "The one without sin cast the first stone." Each of these leaders had violated Moses' law somewhere along the way. Every one of those Pharisees had done so. Everyone in their community had, in some way, violated Moses' law, and yet it is the woman caught in adultery that they make a big deal out of. We do the same thing. We have big deal sins that we make a big deal out of, but sin is still sin. We just don't treat them all the same. We get religious leaders dragged out and said, they've failed, they're out. We kick them to the curb. Somebody who has an abortion must not be a Christian. Somebody who is gay must not be a Christian. Somebody who does this is going to hell. But we ignore certain sins too and keep our own little pet sins around. We don't treat them equally. We make big deals out of big deal sins, and then we ignore other sin that's just as bad as far as separating us from God is concerned. And granted, big deal sins have big deal consequences, and I don't want to make light of that. But here are these religious leaders bringing this woman before Jesus, calling her out for adultery, and Jesus looks at him and says, if you haven't sinned, then you can condemn her. They had their own sins too to deal with, and everybody they knew that they were religious leaders over had the sins, but they only brought her. They did one thing right, I will tell you that though. They brought her to Jesus. That would be the one thing the Pharisees did right. You see, when we're talking about taking a stand against sin, it's not our job to remove someone's sin and make them ready for Jesus. It's our job to introduce them to Jesus. That's what the Pharisees got right. Hey, this woman committed adultery. Can you talk to her? She needs to hear from you. She needs to hear the gospel from you. Of course, they didn't see him that way. But it's not our job to make sure everybody's cleaned up and without sin before we let them into our church or into our system or say that they're a Christian. It's not even our job to determine whether they are a Christian or ready for Jesus or not. It's our job to introduce them to Jesus. And what's interesting is Jesus forgives her. Jesus forgives her. So they bring her before Jesus, saying, our law says that we are supposed to stone her to death. We're supposed to kill her because of this. Jesus says, well, if you haven't sinned, then go ahead. And when they all walk away, Jesus looks at her and says, well, if nobody's condemning you, then I don't either. A lot of times when you hear this passage, nobody ever talks about the end of what he says to her. He says, I forgive you. But he also says, go and sin no more. Verse 11, he looks at her and says, nobody's condemning you. I don't either. But don't keep doing what you've been doing. Just like foster care, our job is to be on the journey of restoration with everyone we come in contact with. But seeking restoration doesn't happen without letting go of sin. Let me hear that. Say it again. We are all on a journey toward restoration. None of us can throw the rock. We're all on the journey together. But just like foster care ought to be, we ought to be seeking to help each other and restore each other and bring each other to becoming more and more like Jesus. But it's not our job to root everybody else's sin out. It's our job to bring them to Jesus. He says in the story, it's Jesus in the story who has no sin, who has the capability of condemning her, and he doesn't. Does that mean we shouldn't condemn sin or help hold people accountable? Of course not. But that's done best in the context of a relationship with a person, especially if they're seeking to make a change. If they're wanting to change the way their life is going, if they're wanting to change the direction of their sin, then they're inviting us in to help them walk in that way. The Pharisees could have come alongside the woman, especially after they bring her to Jesus and he says, go and sin no more. The Pharisees really could have been the ones to come alongside her and help her with the sin no more part. That would be church. That would be being known for what we're for, which is to help each other thrive and be who Jesus has called us to be. Does that mean accountability sometimes? Yes. Does that mean calling some things out? Yes. Are we supposed to oppose evil? Yes. But we're supposed to be helping each other remove sin from our life. and helping each other thrive spiritually. We are supposed to be collaborators in the go and sin no more part of the story. Let's pray. Gracious God, this is where pastoral ministry happens, when we acknowledge that we need your forgiveness, that we need to be brought to you, where you can say, that part of your life, that part of your life, that part of your life is sin. I forgive you. Now, go and sin no more. God, help us to be a church that's not known for condemning everything we come in contact with that we don't agree with. Help us to be a people who seek to bring an end to evil by helping people to live in a way that glorifies you. Let us demonstrate love from a position of recognizing that we need your love and forgiveness too. In Christ's name, amen.